Okay, so last time we spoke about the idea of trying to create a unit in our relationships, right? It's not just about two different people having a business relationship, right? That I'm in it for my own sake, you're in it for your own sake, and look, we got to live together to make sure that we're successful. Right? If I cheat or you cheat, so then we're not. It's just not going to work out, right? So we need to behave and we need to be honest with one another. That's not the relationship that we want to have with people. Real relationships. Real relationships, especially with our future wives, is a relationship where we become a unit. And we said the story about Rav Aryeh Levin, that he went, when he went to his podiatrist with his wife, he said that his wife's foot was hurting her, and the doc said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Our foot hurts us." And her pain was his pain. They formed such an intense unit. They were one, that her pain was his pain. And that's what we're trying to develop, that's what we're trying to create in relationships. And last week we spoke about the first step of creating that is to be able to understand the other person. You have to be able to get into their head, you have to be able to know what is it that they want. What's the way to speak to them? What's the type of things that they want? We spoke about the Pasuk V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, the Sforno explains, means that just like you would want to be treated on your terms, you want to understand other people and see what is it that they would want to have. Just like you would want that, that's what they would want. So you want to go into their world and see, oh, this is the best way to give to them. It's not what I would want I'm going to give to them, because they might not want that, right? What do they want? What is their world? We have to leave our world, go into their world. And we have to try to understand the other person's needs. And we mentioned, women specifically have very different needs at very different times, and it requires us to really study and understand what is it that they want. But it's not just women, it's parents, it's friends, it's family, whoever it is we want to have a relationship with, what is it that they want that we can then go ahead and give them in their way. The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, that Ein Staka Mishtalem Es El Fi Chesed Shaba. The reward for Staka is only according to the chesed within it. What does that mean? The reward for the tzedakah is only according to the chesed within it. So Rashi explains that when I go ahead and I give you a present, that's the tzedakah. Okay, I gave you $1,000, you needed money, I gave you the money, that is the tzedakah. But you're not going to get the full reward for that. It's dependent on the chesed in the tzedakah. What's the chesed in the tzedakah? So Rashi explains, theoretically, you could say, look, I have a $1,000 check for you. Come over, pick it up whenever you want. Man, that's pretty nice. The guy has to come over and gets a $1,000 check. That's very nice, right? You deserve a lot of reward. But if I go ahead and say, you know what, I'll drop it off at your house, that's an even greater level of chesed. Because you put effort and you showed concern that I'm not going to show you. I'm going to come back, I'm going to give you the money. I'm going to come to your house to give it to you. Or, like Rashi explains over there, you can have $1,000 and look, you're willing to give it. You already put it on the side. It doesn't mean anything for you to hold it now, give it now, or give it in a week from now. But you know that the market is down right now, is low. You could buy things for $1,000, a lot more things. There's a sale going on. Okay, there's an Amazon Prime Day. You could go ahead and you could buy things at a cheaper rate. So I'm lazy, I'd rather not go now, but if I give it to him now, that $1,000 is going to be worth a lot more than if I wait a week. And I rush over there and I go give it to him right now. The chesed, the effort that you put into going ahead and giving that money, that's going to be the measure of how much reward you're going to get for the money. Not only the amount that you give, but the effort that you put in to how you give the money. So the chesed, what does chesed mean? It's the effort that you put in into going ahead and buying the present. Right, a person can have wants to buy a present for his wife, and it could be a very nice and expensive present, and he's all excited. You know, she's going to really appreciate the fact that he's willing to give a lot of and put a lot of his money into the present. And he goes ahead and he finds he wants to get the perfect present. So he goes and he asks his mother-in-law, you know, what do you think she would like? And then he goes and asks her co-workers, what do you think she would like? And he gathers all his information. Finally, he finds she wants a pocketbook. Okay. And then he goes ahead and starts finding out what color would she like. And he does so much research and puts so much effort. And he goes to the store and that store doesn't have it. So he goes to the other store and he gets it from that. So finally he has the pocketbook. He spent hours on going ahead and getting this pocketbook. And he goes ahead and gives it to her and she looks at it and is like, oh. What do you mean, oh? That's not what she wanted. Everyone was wrong. Right? But she sees his face like, what? I went to your mother-in-law and your co-worker and I... And she's like, wow. You did all that for me? She could care less about the pocketbook. the chesed that went into all the effort, thinking about that, I want to give you something because I care about you and I'm looking, trying to figure out what it is that you want. That is what's worth everything. It's the chesed that goes into the giving because you show that you cared about what does the other person want and I'm trying to get into that person's head. And usually you're successful in figuring out the right thing, but even if not, just the effort that you put into trying to understand what's going through that person's head is the greatest chesed that you could do. It's so meaningful to the person really appreciates it. So we should not think, just because I'm spending a lot of money on a thing, oh, she's going to like it. No, it's the effort that we put into it that is going to mean much more to her or to the person that we're buying the present for. Okay? It can be cheaper, but the effort is what counts at the end of the day. Okay, so there's understanding the other person's needs, getting into their world, and working on that, and it's something that we can work on ready right now. Find people that we have relationships with, try to get into their heads what they want, and be able to try to give on that level. Then, the second step is then expressing to them the need. Because the need is not always a present. The need could be, oh, you should be speaking to me this way. She needs me to speak to her in this way. My mother needs me to speak to her in this way. My father doesn't like when I joke around this way. Okay, it's clean speech. No, I'm not doing anything wrong. He doesn't like it. We have to express ourselves when we know, eventually, we know what the need is. Then we have to express to the person what we feel. Those two things men have a very hard time with. One is actually figuring out what other people want because it requires a certain amount of mental effort. And two, then go ahead and express. Not so manly sometimes to express things. So most men are not expressive. I don't know if I mentioned this. I always bring this muscle with my kids. I have a whole bunch of daughters in Israel. They go to school. I mentioned this to you last week. They go to school much. They leave at 8 o'clock, 7:30, whatever it is. But they're home by 1. Not such a long day. And then you walk in the door, and everyone, one after the other, can tell you play by play every single minute that happened over the course of the day. And you know, if like 5 minutes was missing in the middle, it's because they got in trouble. You know exactly what happened from beginning to end. My son, you know, he leaves at 6:45, and he comes home at 6:45, and he come home and say, "So, how's your day? Good. Did you learn anything new today? No, same as yesterday." He's off in the cast. He's no interest in speaking. He's done. Right? Men are not. We're not schmooze and schmooze and schmooze. That's not our thing. We're not so expressive, right? So the second level of creating a unit is that there has to be communication. You have to be able to express that you like that this person did this for you, or that this person made this for you. You have to get into their world, and then you notice what they did for you, and then you go ahead and you express it in detail. Right? I always like to say that you go to someone's house for Shabbos, and you eat the meal at the house, and you say to the Rebbetzin, you say, "Everything was great. The food, amazing. Best food I had since I came to Israel." So you think, okay, that's a pretty nice compliment, right? I'll tell you a better compliment, okay? You tell her that everything was great. The kugel, there was something in the kugel. What was in that kugel? Well, there was something in there. It was so good, that kugel. Right? Or the salad. Oh, what was the dressing? What was in the dressing of the salad? You pick one little thing that you notice and you mention that will get you another invite. that means a lot more than saying everything was great. Everything, you know, you mentioned a specific thing. Try this Shabbos, guys, okay? One thing. Could have done last Shabbos, okay. Well, notice one thing. One little thing, that is a grand slam. Why is that so important? Only one of the things. Isn't it better to say everything was great? No. Everything is great is one of those hallmark greetings, you know? It's generic. When you say this specific thing, show that you thought about this and you really were impacted by it, and now you're sharing it. When you go ahead and you tell your wife, you know, "Oh, last night, the way you put the kids to sleep was so gentle and nice, and they're so lucky to have a mother like that," that's much different than saying, "Oh, you're a great mother. You're always a great mother." No, you mentioned something specific. It requires noticing. That's part of the understanding. Understanding what's going on in the person's head. You're noticing something about them that they did. Maybe that was a little harder for them to do and they did it. And then you're going ahead and you're expressing yourself in that area. That's huge. That's a way of connecting on a level that's very real. You want to become one, you have to have deep connections. That's how you have the deep connection, by expressing in that way. That you could already try and work on already now. You know, there's no reason to wait for the future. you could go ahead and the chef used to, the old chef in Ishtar used to make jokes all the time. He said, "Did you get that relationship class again?" I said, "What happened?" He said, "Because they're all coming over to me and noticing specific things about the food." You know, it's when you go ahead and you notice something, and then you express it, it allows a tremendous connection between the two people. Okay. And with both understanding and noticing and the expressing, we could speak for days on. But I'd like to jump down to the next level of connecting. Okay? And that is sharing. Okay? This is going to get a little harder. Sharing. Sharing is the next level of connecting to become one unit with whoever you want to have a relationship with. And there are three levels of sharing. The first level of sharing is that I share my experiences and my feelings over the course of the day. Okay, let's take an example of two people who are married. Both of them work, let's say. So both of them leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning. They both come home at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They go to sleep, 10:30, 11. How much time do they spend together? 5 hours, 5.5 hours. How much time do they spend away from one another? I'm not talking about sleeping time. I'm talking about awake time. A lot more, perhaps double, right? So more of their life is separate than together. So how in the world are they going to create a unit? It's impossible. We're separate. We're not one. So the first step is to share. I have to share what happened over the course of my day. Doesn't have to be every single minute, but something exciting that happened, some emotion that happened. I met a friend that I haven't seen this in a long time. So great to see him. It made me so happy. Small things, experiences, and emotions that happened. By me doing that, by me sharing those things, my wife, or whoever the person is, it could be a parent at home, right? You want to say, "What did I do today in Eishah Torah? What happened?" So you mentioned something that happened. What happened in my day in Eretz Yisrael? That lets them into your head. It lets them into your life. Right? So what's the challenge? So the two challenges here. One challenge is that many of us often can't even say what happened over the course of our day. Right? How many of us, at the end of the day, they're about to go to sleep, and they say, "What did I do today?" Right? We're not so in touch sometimes with what we're feeling. Especially emotions. That's for men for sure not. Right? What did we feel today? We had an up, we had a down. Are we able to really articulate for ourselves what we went through? And then to say it over, like you can say to your roommate, "By the way, let me tell you what I felt today." Whoa, this guy's weird. No, that, we don't do that. That's not our way of interacting with men. So we're not good at it. We don't get good practice at it. But we have to practice. So you have to find someone that you have a relationship with. And first level of sharing is notice things that happen. If you need to jot it down on a piece of paper in your pocket, do it. What happened over the course of the morning? What did I eat for lunch? What happened in the afternoon? I heard a class was very inspiring. Oh, and then I tell my family member that I heard this class. It was really uplifting. So I shared an experience and I shared an emotion. That's very important for the other person to get into my life. I want them to be part of my life. Yes, we're separate. Thousands of miles away, or 10 hours apart a day, but I want my wife to be able to know what's going on in my life. That's the only way we're going to be able to connect at a deep level. So we have to share. People who don't share, if you come home from work and you say, "So how's your day?" "It was good." That means that you've separated yourselves. You've been living a separate life for 10 hours. That's bad. Okay? Now again, you don't have to give 10 hours of play-by-play, but you have to give some experiences and emotions so that the other person enters into your life. Okay, that is level one of sharing, something that we easily could start working on already right now. Level number two of sharing, this is harder, is that you allow the other person to become a partner in your success. The other person is going to now become a partner in your success. Now the question is, how do you do that? Right? Let's say my brother's a doctor, so, and my sister-in-law is scared of blood. So my brother is going to go ahead and treat, he's a pediatrician, pediatric cardiologist, he's going to take care of a kid and maybe save his life. And my sister-in-law, she's not a partner in that. she would run the other direction if she saw the kid in the hospital bed. So how in the world do you become a partner in someone else's success when you have nothing to do with the other person? Right? Mirat Hashem, you all get married, you all have time to learn, you're going to learn Torah, and you're going to come home and you say, oh, I learned the Gemara. And she's a partner in my learning Gemara. She doesn't even know what a Gemara is. How do you become partners? How do you become partners? So some people say, well, maybe it'd be good if she could work in your office. She could be like your secretary. So this is what I used to say. I used to tell you, I said, the worst thing you could do. You're going to kill your marriage if you become your husband's secretary. Why is that? Because sometimes you have to discipline your secretary. Sometimes, you know, she's going to see you maybe not on your best behavior. What do you need that for in your relationship? That's a bad thing. Right? So then, at the there was a conference a year and a half ago, and I spoke about this topic. And there was a mixed audience, very mixed. Like over 100 people there, and then there were some people there that weren't religious, many people that weren't religious. And I said, you know, never want to be your husband's secretary. It's the worst thing you can do to your marriage. Okay, after the whole thing was finished and people came over, blah, 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 the two people waiting for me at the end. So I'm standing there, and they come over to me, and they say, you know, Rabbi, I just wanted to let you know that I'm my husband's secretary. And I'm like, ugh. I'm like, I said, almost always, it's really bad. Almost always, it's really bad. They say, always. Sometimes it can work out. You know, I'm starting to like get out of, dig myself out of the hole that I dug myself into. And like, no, Rabbi, I wanted to tell you, you're 100% right. The worst thing that ever happened to our marriage, was when I started to work in my husband's office. And we're splitting it, that I don't have to work there, I'm going to work somewhere else. I'm like, whew, thank you. You know, but it's true. Because you think, oh, that's going to make us work together. Because we're going to actually physically work together. No, that's not necessarily the right way to do it. If it's good, it's good. But very often, it's not. And you're forcing something just to feel connected, and that's not the way to become connected. So how do you become a partner in someone else's success when you have nothing to do with what the other person's doing? How do you do it? Okay. So we're going to take 1 minute now. 60 seconds. Okay? Whoever has a piece of paper, you're going to write this down. Whoever doesn't have a piece of paper, just take someone else's piece of paper and a pen and write. Okay? You have 1 minute to write down 10 people. Who needs a pen? 10 people that had a direct. Direct means direct. Direct effect on your success today. 10 people, you have 1 minute. 10 people that had a direct effect on your success today. Go. Yeah.
Should we write down like names?
Names of people.
Success.
Anything that you define, you're anything that you succeeded in today, they had a direct effect on it, on causing it.
It's hard.
20 seconds left. Most people can't get past 4. Just in case you're already getting upset or nervous.
Not bad.
Seven seconds. Okay, what do we got here? How many do we have here?
Six.
Anyone get more than six? Yeah? Okay, let's let me hear some of them. Go. What do you say? Give one.
It's a lad, Ori.
Ori. Okay, why?
He gave me some mussar, some good mussar.
Okay, so he gave you good mussar, and that helped you succeed today. Beautiful. Anyone else have another one?
Say my rabbi from yeshiva.
Okay, the rabbi from yeshiva today gave you a shear. Helped you succeed. Good. Very good.
Her name's Shoshana. She's one of the women that collects money over here.
Yeah. One of my best friends. Yeah.
And she's awesome. I filled up her bottle for her, so she just made me feel better.
Okay. Very good.
Mom and dad.
Okay. How's that?
They guided me through everything.
Okay. So how'd that affect your success today?
Without them, I wouldn't be successful.
Okay. Good. So we're going to stop there. Okay. Because that's a little bit what I wanted. The normal ones that people say are, you know, I had a good chavusa today who helped me, I had someone who gave me mussar, my roommate woke me up, my rabbi gave me a good shir. Now, all those are 100% true, and they should be the top five, 100%. Okay? But what this exercise is supposed to do, and whoever wasn't able to get 10, okay, you should be able to get 20. Okay? And I hope after this shir, you'll be able to get 30. Okay? Within a minute. And that is to open up our sphere of who helps us succeed. What do I mean by that? Last night, I might have had a conversation. I did. I had a conversation with my father. Okay, I called my father. I spoke to my father last night. I enjoy speaking to my father. And by speaking to my father, it made me happy. I miss him. You know, I call him and I feel better after I speak to him. Today, I was successful because I had a good conversation with my father yesterday. It had nothing to do about with today. Right? But because last night he put me in a good mood, today I'm more successful. Right? Or you could say,
So that is direct.
I'll give you the flip of that and you'll see why it's not direct. You're right. I specifically used the word direct, specifically to highlight your question. Watch this. Okay? I have a friend who asks to speak to me. So, okay, when can we speak? Late at night, 10 o'clock we're going to speak. And we start to speak and, he's having a lot of issues. And we start speaking, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, he's still going. And I can't leave him. he's in a basket case. I got to continue talking to him. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, finally, 3 o'clock, my head's spinning, and I go to sleep. The next day, I'm exhausted. Of course, I wake up early to go daven, and I'm wiped, right? I'm falling asleep all over the place. Did I have a successful day today? No. You know why? Because I'm exhausted. Okay. It was okay because I was doing a mitzvah, blah, 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 blah. Fine. But at the end of the day, I wasn't successful today because I was exhausted. But now, watch the flip. A friend comes over at 10 o'clock and we start to talk and this starting to get heavy. And 11 o'clock, 11:30 says to me, you know, I really appreciate everything you're doing. The fact that you're talking to me is really helping me. You're probably very tired. And I say, you know, I tell you the truth. I'm exhausted. And my head's starting to hurt me. I think I really want to continue speaking. Would it be okay if we speak tomorrow? I see it's very pressing. And if you want, I'm happy to continue talking to you right now. But would it be okay? And he says to me, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go to sleep, wake up tomorrow. We'll speak again tomorrow night. So, you know, I really appreciate it. The next day, I have an awesome day. Because I went to sleep at 11:30 and I had a good night's sleep and I was very successful. That guy was directly responsible for my success. He didn't do anything. He let me go to sleep. When you have a roommate who comes in later than you're sleeping already, and he's quiet, then every single night, that roommate is directly responsible for your success the next day. There are so many outside factors that play a result directly in our success. We're just not in tune to it. Because we think of direct as being the guy who gave us the shear. Right, the guy who pulled me out of bed, the guy who gave me mussar. Those things are very direct, it's true. But there are other direct ways of helping my success. It could be my parents who paid for me to be able to come here. Or someone who gave me a smile in the morning and because of that I started my day better and I was in a good mood. Or someone 3 weeks ago who gave me a certain piece of advice that made me make a decision that right now I'm still benefiting from. We forget about that already. Right? Those are all direct. Those are all clear pieces of my success today. But we don't think like that. We think very linear, like that, right? This is what we see. That is not good for a relationship. For relationships, we have to be able to appreciate all the aspects of that person in our life that helped us be successful. So when my wife goes ahead and she says, you know, David, why don't you take a sandwich? I'm like, I don't need a sandwich. I'll just buy something. Please, don't buy. No, I'm making a peanut butter sandwich. And she takes the peanut butter, slaps it on, and stuffs it into my bag. And I go to yeshiva and have a peanut butter sandwich. So you say, like, well, I'm going to thank her for the peanut butter sandwich? I mean, come on. Everyone in the world can make a peanut butter sandwich, right? You have to be really pathetic to mess up a peanut butter sandwich, right? So I'm not going to come home that night and say, you know, honey, thank you so much for the peanut butter sandwich, right? Except, listen to this, okay? I work. Okay, pretend. Right? I work in the city on the 20th floor, And I could go down the stairs. I have a break every single day from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. I could go down the stairs all the way down to the kosher cafeteria, buy a sandwich, go back up, lock my door, eat my sandwich in 15 minutes, and go back to work at 1 o'clock. No problem. Right? But I said, you know what? I have this peanut butter sandwich in my bag. At 12:01, I lock the door. I pull out the peanut butter sandwich. I eat it. I'm done by 12:02. And I have 58 minutes to relax before I have to go back to work. That's huge. I can make a phone call. I could rest my head. I could read a book, learn some Torah, rejuvenate myself. Right? The rest of the afternoon is going to be such an awesome afternoon because of that peanut butter sandwich. My wife helped me be a better surgeon the whole afternoon because she gave me a peanut butter sandwich. My wife made me trade stocks better the whole afternoon. She doesn't even know what the stock market is because of a peanut butter sandwich. Direct. Right? But we wouldn't think like that. But if I come home and I say, you know what? Thank you so much for that peanut butter sandwich. It gave me such menuchas hanefesh that my whole afternoon was so much more. I was so tired. I put my head down for half an hour. I had an awesome afternoon. All because of you. All because of you. You're a part of my success. You're not my secretary. You're not my nurse. But you did something directly helped me succeed. That applies everywhere. It could be Mrs. Deutsch's dinner. It could be the chef's lunch. Whatever it is, someone makes something food for you, and the whole afternoon because you had a good lunch, you feel better and you're able to learn more. So the learning is because of the chef. No, it's because of me because I'm a good learner and I'm a masman and I work hard. Okay, yeah. But it's also because of the chef, right? There are many other factors in our lives that play crucial roles in our success. So as long as you have a little humility, you don't have to be huge. You know, as long as you're not the biggest Balgaiva in the world, you'll realize that there are a lot of other people helping you succeed. So the first step is to notice those people. You have to think, right? Sometimes you have to think broader than our... That's why in a minute sometimes it's hard because we think like this. We have to learn to broaden our scope of who influences us. And then we have to go ahead and express it to people. We have to let them know that we appreciated the fact that last night I was sleeping and you didn't wake me up when you came back. That is really important. And I had a great day because of it. My success today was because of you. Whoa. Now you feel like a partner. You're a teammate. You're working together. You're helping each other. Right? So the second level of sharing is to allow the other person to feel a partner in your success. Okay. Now here comes the third level of sharing. Now this level is the hardest of all. Okay, so again, the first level is that I let them into my head. How do I let them into my head? I share with them my experience of the course of the day, my emotions, my experiences. The second one is I let them be a partner. We're working together. Right? That's another level of becoming a unit. And here comes the third level. Okay, my wife calls me up. And she says, oh, you should have been there. Really, what happened? Our little our one-year-old just started to walk. I took him to get a pair of shoes. And it was so cute. The first pair of shoes, you should have seen him. He took him and put on the first pair. And he walked across the shoe store and he fell down in the middle. And then he picked himself up and he was so happy when he got to the other side. You should have been there and you got to see these shoes. The little teddy bear in the back of the shoe is so cute. And you're sitting there, I'm like, all I want to know is how much extra do we have to pay for that teddy bear? Right? I don't care about the teddy bear. I just want to know, did it cost more money or not? Pathless, right? So all of a sudden, my wife realizes, like, well, he could care less about what I'm talking about. He doesn't care. Or she went shopping and she got a great thing and she liked the colors. And like, I don't care. As long as you're happy, honey. Whatever you want, right? So, what does that do? That shuts the other person up. That closes them entirely. The third level of sharing is allowing the other person to share in a genuine way. That when they're talking about something that you could care less about, you genuinely are listening and want to hear what they have to say. But I don't care. I'm not interested. I want to fake her out. Well, hopefully we'll all marry women who are smart enough to know when we're faking them out, right? So how do I sit there and genuinely make them feel like they Want to share? So I'll tell you a story just to highlight how important this is, and then I'll tell you the answer to this third level of sharing. The story is as follows. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a lot of famous stories about Rosh Shlomo Zalman. One very famous story is that at his wife's levaya, he got up in front of everyone and he said, there's a custom to ask for mechila, to ask for forgiveness from the person who passed away. I have nothing to ask forgiveness from my wife. Wow. Nothing. Married for who knows how long, nothing to ask forgiveness for. Okay. It's a big tzaddik. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Okay. Then he had a student in Kol Torah, and he gave him some schmoozing before the guy got married, and 6 months after the wedding, he asks the boy, so, how's your Shalom Bayis? So he said to him, oh, it's amazing. Not one disagreement. Rebbe, everything's perfect. So he said, huh, did she die? Did you get divorced? So the bacher of Reish, he said to him, what? Rebbe, I told you, I said, everything's perfect, not one disagreement. We have so much shalom bayis, it's amazing. And he said, did she die? Did you get divorced? So he's like, he said, Rebbe, you yourself at your wife's levaya said that you had nothing to ask mechila for. Me too, we have no disagreements, everything is perfect. So he said, I never said we don't have any disagreements. We had disagreements. What I said is I have nothing to ask mechila for. Just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you have to ask forgiveness from them. You could hold this way, I could hold this way. Doesn't mean I yell at you. Doesn't mean I call you names. Doesn't mean I ignore you. Doesn't mean I scream at you. That's when you have to ask mechila from someone. But to have a disagreement? He said, if you don't have a disagreement, then must be your wife died or you got divorced. It's impossible not to become one with someone and not disagree. You're two separate people. You're a man, you're a woman. Different, from different backgrounds, you have to disagree. Disagreeing is not a problem. It's what do you do with the disagreement. If you're not disagreeing with someone that you have a close relationship with, that means you're not having a real relationship. Usually what it means is that the other person is scared to share with you. Because they know you're not interested, and if you start talking, you start looking at the phone, or if they start talking, you're going to start to like make fun of them, so they don't want to talk to you anymore. So disagreeing is normal. It's how do you react to a disagreement. Okay? So you got to share, and you have to let the other person share. And it's crucial. So how do you do it if you're really not interested? Okay, so here's the yesod. From none other than the Chafetz Chaim. It's a halacha. Halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. There's a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that we want to have oneg, right? We want to have oneg on Shabbos, we want to have chalent, etc. Okay. But part of the mitzvah of Oneg is what we speak about on Shabbos. The halacha, you're not allowed to speak about sports and news and all these things if you don't like them. If you don't like them, you're not allowed to speak about them because it ruins your Shabbos. So what's the halacha in the following situation? You're a guest in my house, right? And you love to speak about sports. I hate to speak about sports. And every time people speak about sports, it bothers me and it gets me nervous. I don't like it. Going to ruin my Shabbos. But you love it. Am I allowed to talk to you about sports on Shabbos? No. So what do you say?
Compromise.
No, yes, compromise?
Yes.
Yes. Why would you say yes?
Because at the end of the day, maybe it's not the sports that you want to be, that you're going for, but if you're trying to like entertain a guest, you're happy to like, you know, make them comfortable at your house.
Beautiful, Joseph. Okay, so the halacha is that it's mutter. The reason most people, when you ask them, why is it mutter? They say so. The reason is because just like, you know, you're pulling out the best food for your guests, so also, you know, you pull out the conversation. Whatever, it's like almost like you're doche the halacha because achnasas orchim, greater than greeting the shechina, right? So that's doche, this halacha of owning. I'm not going to enjoy it so much. I also don't enjoy spending a lot of money when my guests come over. But I do it for achnasas orchim, right? But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. He says like Joseph said. The Mishnah Berurah says, but the reason it's mutter is because I am getting an oneg out of the fact that you're enjoying talking about sports. Meaning, you forget about the details of the conversation, but you're getting an oneg, an enjoyment in the concept of conversation. The fact that you and I are having a conversation and you're happy, that makes me happy. What are we talking about? I don't even know. But we're having a conversation, and I'm enjoying the fact that I'm having a conversation with you and you are happy. I go on a trip with you. I always dreamt when I was little I was going to get married, I was going to go to Vail, Colorado on every single one of my vacations. I love skiing. And then you marry a lady who likes to go to Florida. That's a big problem, right? It's a recipe for divorce. Yeah? Or not. The vacation is not about me going skiing and about you going to Florida. It's about us spending time together. We could go into our backyard and spend time together. We don't need these external stuff to spend time together. Okay, yes, personally it's good for me to ski. Personally it's good for you to be in the heat. Okay, we understand that. But as a couple together, it really doesn't matter what we do together. What we speak about really doesn't matter. When you engage in conversation and the art of conversation, and you're enjoying just the fact that we're sitting down and talking about something, then I don't even know that we're talking about sports. So I'm genuinely sitting with you and speaking about sports because I'm getting so much enjoyment that you, my guests, are enjoying being over here. It's an unbelievable thing. It's taking you, the I, out of the picture and talk about the we. We are having conversation. Doesn't matter then if I'm getting something out of this. What am I getting out of this conversation? Right? A lot of times we think we're talking to someone. What am I getting out of this right now? If I'm not getting anything out of this, I leave or I do something else. That's selfish. But if I'm doing something in order to connect with someone else, then I don't care what I'm getting out of it. I'm just happy that we're enjoying the time together. And that's why it's mutter on Shabbos to be able to speak about those things that you don't like. And that's the yisod, that's the secret of how you sit in the conversation and be happy, really happy. You're not faking anyone out when the other person has something you're not enjoying so much. This etzah was given someone in a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, not mentioning any names, that his father was, his whole life was about horses and restaurants. Horses and restaurants. So every time his father came to visit his son, who was now becoming a Baal Tshuva and becoming frumer, and he came, all he wanted to do was go to Israel, find the horses, and go to the restaurants. And he wasn't interested in that, pigging out at the restaurants and going to watch the horse races. He wasn't interested. So every time he came, the father was like, "What happened to you? You know, you don't go with me anymore," and this. And he's like, and they kept sort of drifting away and away. So then, this Talmud got the following Yitzah. Don't worry about the actual horses. And don't worry about the actual food. Think about the fact you're spending time with your father. That's it. It happens to be at the horse race. It happens to be in the restaurant. It happens to be Nebuch, you have to eat very fancy food. But don't think about that. Think about the experience that you're having together. And he started doing that. And the relationship took off better than it ever was even before he became from. Sometimes we have relatives, we have friends, that we don't have much in common with them. And we don't know what to talk to them about. But if we're able to get into their world and see, okay, they enjoy speaking about this. Okay, obviously we're talking about things that are mutter, right? We're not talking about things that are prohibited to speak about, but they're going ahead and they want to go somewhere, which is a healthy place to go. Okay, you're not so into that stuff anymore, but it's a healthy place, it's a kosher place to go. And they want to go with you, and if you're going to go and you're going to have a kosher experience together, you're not so into that anymore though, but it's okay, then you're bonding together with the person. You're allowing the experience to exist between you and the other person, and you become very, very close. Very close. Especially when they know that you're not so interested in it anymore, and you're doing it. Because when you go for the experience, and you take yourself out of the picture, it's not about what I'm getting out of this right now, it's about what we're getting out of it, and that's positive, you can connect to anyone about anything. It's an unbelievable yisod of the Chafetz Chaim. So we have three different stages of sharing. One, again, is that we let the other person into our life. How do we do that? We share our experiences of the day. We tell our parents, what's going on over here in Ishtar? What are we doing? What are we doing all day long? Something. I had a great experience. I met a great friend. Right? Again, maybe your parents don't care about that, but when you say that, you're letting them into your life. They're letting them into your emotions. They feel part of it. That's the way to connect. Level two of sharing is that you make the other person a partner in your success. How? Because you think about all the different energies, all the different people all around us that are affecting our success. The person might have been 7 years ago. The person might have been last night. The person might be in the future. The fact that I know that tonight I'm going to go ahead and meet my wife and be able to talk to her and relax, that helps me get through my day. Right? It makes my whole day successful because I know I have what to look forward to. I'm going somewhere for Shabbos that I'm so excited to go for. That helps my whole week. Didn't even happen yet, but it directly affects me. But we're able to open a million more examples. You guys, you should get chavrusas and try to think together. Try to open each other up to figure out how can we find those people. And then we let them know that they had a direct effect in our success. And the third level is you let the other person share with you. You let them, share with you their experiences. You might not be excited about it. It might not interest you. So it is that you take yourself out of it and you just look at the experience of the conversation. My wife, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my friend is happy to tell me about this thing. He's excited to tell me about it. Well, I'm excited that he feels that he can be excited to tell me something. This is great. We're having a great conversation right now because he's talking about something he's happy about. I am so happy. I'm not getting anything out of it, but who cares? It's not about me. It's about us connecting and having that conversation. And when you do that, those three levels, okay, they're not easy. But you really, really become a very, very strong unit with whoever it is that you want to have a relationship with. Okay? Shkoyach, guys.